Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're cracking open Carl Sagan's The Demon Haunted World. Sophie, I gotta ask, what's the first thing that hits you when you think about this one?
Hey there, Sam.
Honestly, the first thing is how urgent it feels, even though it was written in the 90s. It's like Sagan saw our current mess coming. He's not just explaining science, he's pleading with us to use our brains before it's too late.
Yeah, and that's what got me. It's not a dry textbook. It's a love letter to critical thinking. He calls it a candle in the dark against all the superstition and nonsense swirling around.
Right.
And he starts by clearing up a huge misconception. Science isn't a pile of facts you memorize. It's a way of thinking, a method. You make observations, you form a guess, you test it, and you're willing to be wrong.
And that last part is the kicker, right? Being willing to be wrong. That's what separates real science from what he calls cargo cult science. That's when people dress up their beliefs in lab coats and scientific words, but they already know the answer. They're just looking for evidence to back it up.
Exactly. He borrows that term from Richard Feynman. Cargo cult science looks legit, but it's missing the core ingredient, the willingness to have your mind changed by the evidence.
So to help us sort the real from the fake, Sagan hands us this toolkit he calls the Baloney Detection Kit. And honestly, just that name makes me smile.
It's such a great phrase. And the kit is basically a bunch of simple questions. Where's the evidence? Who tested it? Can it be replicated? Is the person making the claim willing to be proven wrong?
And the crazy thing is, most of us never ask those questions. We just go with what feels true or what we want to believe. Sagan says we're wired to see patterns, even where there are none. That's why we see faces in clouds and conspiracies in random events.
And that's also why alien abduction stories are so fascinating. Sagan points out that they change with the times. In earlier centuries, people reported being visited by demons or fairies. Now it's little green men. Same psychological mechanism, different cultural costume.
He's not mocking the people who have those experiences, though. He takes them seriously as psychological events. But he insists on a distinction between having an experience and knowing what caused it. That's the whole ballgame right there.
And that leads to his big rule. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. If you tell me you had eggs for breakfast, I'll take your word for it. If you tell me you can levitate, I'm going to need to see something pretty convincing.
Right. And he applies that standard to everything, from faith healing to UFOs. And surprise, surprise, the evidence almost never holds up. When you look closely, it's usually a mistake, a misinterpretation, or outright fraud.
But here's the thing. Debunking alone doesn't work. People cling to these beliefs because they give them certainty, community, a sense of meaning. If you just tell them they're wrong, they'll dig in even deeper.
So what's a move then? If you can't just attack the belief, what do you do?
Sagan says you offer something better. Science can give you wonder that's deeper than any myth. It can give you a community of people committed to truth. It can show you a universe that's more amazing than anything you could invent.
And that's the part that got me, the wonder. He talks about looking at the night sky and knowing that light's been traveling for millions of years. Or that we're made of stardust, the atoms in our bodies forged in the hearts of dead stars. I mean, that's poetry.
It really is. And he's adamant that this isn't just for scientists. You don't need a PhD to appreciate a spiral galaxy. You just need curiosity and a willingness to learn. That's what he means by science belonging to everyone.
But he also gets serious about the stakes. He connects science literacy to democracy itself. A society that can't tell sense from nonsense is a society that can't govern itself. If we're all believing in astrology and conspiracy theories, we're easy prey for demagogues.
He even points to the Soviet Union, where they suppressed real science and promoted quackery. It led to disasters, and he warns it could happen anywhere if we're not vigilant.
And he's really tough on our education system. He says we're teaching kids what to think, not how to think. They memorize facts, but never learn to question them. Real education should be about curiosity, skepticism, and the joy of discovery.
Yeah, he's not gentle about that. He calls it indoctrination, not education. And he's especially hard on the intellectual elite who are proud of being scientifically illiterate. They think science is beneath them, but it's actually basic citizenship.
And he's nuanced about religion too. He's not attacking faith, but he says if a religious claim touches the natural world, like prayer healing the sick, then it should be testable. It doesn't get a free pass from evidence.
That's a really important distinction. He's not saying religion has no value. He's saying it can't claim special exemption from the standards we apply to everything else.
There's also this story he tells about testifying in court about hypnosis. He watched a prosecutor use pseudoscience to plant false memories in witnesses. It's a chilling example of how these ideas can have real, damaging consequences.
People have been imprisoned, tortured, even killed because of pseudoscientific beliefs. Millions of dollars wasted on fake treatments. Lives lost to faith healing instead of medicine. This isn't just an academic debate.
So is he hopeful at all? The guy's staring into the abyss of human irrationality, and it doesn't exactly look pretty.
He's not naive, but he's not hopeless. He thinks if we can teach critical thinking, make science exciting and accessible, show people that truth is more beautiful than lies, then we have a chance. It's hard work, but it's possible.
And he leaves us with this image. We can blow out the candle and stumble in the dark, or we can hold it high and see the world as it really is. That's the choice. And he's asking us to choose the light.
That's the core of it. In a world drowning in misinformation, Sagan's book is a reminder that skepticism isn't about being negative. It's about being free. And if you want to keep exploring these ideas, the whole library's over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. The demon-haunted world is a call to think for yourself, to demand evidence, and to never stop wondering. We'll see you in the next one.